Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Mark Crisco. Mark's the Deputy Director of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy, e-business, in the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics. And joining us in our conversation is Linda Marshall.
Mark, can you describe the process of developing a solution that was started within the Defense Department and then transferred to the civilian sector?
We've had a lot of solutions that have been transferred to the civilian sector, and it's principally under the integrated acquisition environment in the lane of procurement. A few of them that come to mind are the Central Contract Registry, CCR, the Past Performance System. We've also had FedTeds move up to a federal to provide services to that environment. Mark Foreman, when he was here, initiated the Quicksilver to try to find the low-hanging fruit of initiatives that we could deploy federally wide. The department had a few of them, and we were able to elevate them up and work them in the integrated acquisition environment.
Is the Federal Technical Data Solution, commonly called FedTeds, a good example of this? You mentioned that.
Yes, FedTeds is a great example of that. FedTeds was developed out of the Air Force, out of the Logistics Center. We found post-9/11 that the solution, when we would put solicitations out on the street for bid, that many of information that we were putting out on the web was sensitive, but not unclassified. We would have drawings of the Hoover Dam. We would have drawings of security systems that we wanted industry to provide solutions for. And we realized all of a sudden it was in an unprotected environment. Very quickly in the department, what we initiated was to move that forward to protect that information, to control who and when they received that, so we would understand who was getting that level of information on security. The Department of Homeland Security was the first to pick up on this, and they tremendously led the effort in deploying it within the Department of Homeland Security. Since then, we've also extended that all the way to local governments in terms of New York City is employing that solution set. So there we found a solution that was very small, very homegrown within the department at the Air Force that could fill a capability gap within the procurement community very quickly and deploy nationally. And we're working on implementing that throughout the federal government now.
I understand the department wants to organize the strategic acquisition at an enterprise level and not a single system or component. Could you explain to our listeners what you mean by the enterprise level and why this is important?
Well, I think we need to recognize first at an enterprise level what that really means, because in many cases in procurement, it's what we spend our money on. We talked earlier about the magnitude of the money, and we have a tremendous amount of people that want insight as to what we spend our money on, whether it's transparency for the citizen, whether it's transparency for the management of that, whether it's for the oversight communities to understand how and where we spend the money. It's critical information for the individual to understand where they're buying and what they are buying. I have two good examples at an enterprise level that I think will crystallize this. One is we've initiated a spend analysis pilot within the Department of Defense. Based upon existing infrastructure, we're going to pilot the capability of pulling enterprise spend data from systems that are currently in place. The Army has the lead for us. The Air Force and the Navy are partnering on that to move forward and pull spend data. Another initiative comes out of the federal solution side, out of the integrated acquisition environment. It's the Federal Procurement Data System Next Generation. We are required to report all our contractual data to a system. In the past, we would report it to the first generation FPDS. But this directly would move all of our business systems at an enterprise level. So at a federal level, we would understand who and what is spending their money on, and it would all be located in one system. It's critically important for us in the department to do that. It's important for us in the federal sector to do that. But it's difficult to manage the transition because the technical infrastructures and the systems supporting those, when you establish single points, you have to actively manage the transition to those systems, and it's important for us to remember that it is not easy.
What processes do you have to eliminate silos of information that may have existed, and also how does the department manage across these processes or systems?
Well, silos of information, we generally find that they come based upon the solutions and the technical infrastructure that's out there. We've created them because of our technological implementations. I really have a three-step process of how to think about that. And the first step of that is understanding what the process is and understanding what the business process, what the data and the information are. The way we're manifesting that in eliminating the silos is developing an enterprise architecture. Once you develop an enterprise architecture, you've really managed yourself to the direction of where you want to go because you've settled on the process, you've settled on data, and you've settled on the information that's needed. The next step is to assess the infrastructure and see what systems are meeting that architecture because that'll help eliminate the silos. Eliminating the silos in and of itself is not the answer. You have to have a structured and disciplined approach because from assessing where your infrastructure is, you begin to transition your systems. In transitioning your systems, you decide whether you're going to retain them, retire them, refresh them, fix them, and you need to move forward in that line. We can realize in many cases, and that may sound like a long-term project, but it doesn't have to be quite as long-term as some would like us to believe. You can realize quickly where you can implement technologies to homogenize the data, and so to speak, now. But ultimately, you want to have fewer, more capable systems and develop your transition plan off of that.
What performance metrics are you using to see how you're doing compared to those steps?
When I think of performance metrics at the highest level, it's always about saving time and saving money. And if you can't demonstrate that, you really don't have performance metrics. We think of it in three lanes. I think, one, we measure ourselves to see how well we're doing in terms of developing our business process, our data models, our transition plans, and are we doing what we said we would do on time. We also need to assess the services and components and help them realize the transitions that they're trying to measure. So you need to measure their progression to how well they're doing and how fast they're achieving their transformation goals because they are the supporting infrastructure, by and large, that are transitioning in support of us. And finally, you have to measure at a process level. We need to move faster in terms of how we measure process, but we need to be careful to look at it at an enterprise level, just not at a typical segment of business. A good example of that, in the past, we used to measure procurement action lead time, and that would be from the moment you had a procurement request generated to the moment you executed. Oftentimes, we wouldn't enter in the procurement request till we're ready to execute, so the metric always looked good, but did we really achieve the savings? You have to take a holistic measure, and you have to measure as we mature because we're not all there yet, so you have to keep moving forward and measuring yourself, measuring the processes, and ultimately measuring what your technological footprint looks like. Fewer systems are, by and large, better because the technological footprint, and you can save yourself time and money. We measured this, and we had some very quick wins in the acquisition domain within our community because we were the first to step up. We moved Fed TEDS to the federal arena and didn't have a DOD TEDS anymore, so we didn't need that capability internally. And we also retired a feeder system to Fed BizOps. We had the Department of Defense Federal Business Opportunity System. We took that system down very early on. I mentioned Federal Procurement Data System. Moving to that, the measurement there culminates in two things. By our move to passing procurement data from our procurement systems to FPDS, the next generation, we not only will retire five business systems, we had five feeder systems within the Department of Defense, but we also business process re-engineered the process because the contracting officers or the contract specialists would be passing the direct data from their contract award directly to FPDS, thus eliminating all the oversight and all the data movement within the department. So there you could see, you measure that we business process re-engineered it while we were reducing our technological footprint.
Mark, I'm going to switch gears on you for a minute if you don't mind. I know your office is committed to integrating not just systems and technology, but the people and the processes as well. Can you tell us why focusing on the people to achieve this vision of transformation at DOD is an important issue and what the main obstacles of achieving this are?
The main obstacles of achieving that, and I think you have to take all three. It's not that we solely focus on the people. You have to focus on technology, the process, the policy, the people, all at the same time. Too often in the past, we only focused on one, the technological aspects or the process aspects or just the people aspects. Taken as an entity, you could manage change faster if you accommodate for all three, because technological solutions are not people, and you need all things to change in the same fashion. The obstacles of that are principally communicative. You need to get the communication out to the people of understanding what's changing from the technology or process perspective, so you can lead them and teach them where we're going as a community. Moving as a community, the obstacles generally are that we can't reach everybody fast enough. And as the environment moves faster, we will be challenged in the future to getting information out to the people to understand how the transition's occurring. What are we changing in terms of what systems we have providing the solutions? How did we re-engineer the process? How did we change the policy? Within the Office of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy, one of Ms. Lee's tenets is that when we change, we get to the people and change them and inform them what we did, why we did it, and how we can help them complete their transformation.
Interesting, especially the integration of the three. What impact has the conflict in Iraq had on procurement reforms? We'll ask our guest, Mark Crisco of DOD, for his thoughts when the Business of Government Hour returns.